Sweeping up clouds. In November 1969, the very first episode of a show aimed at young children debuted on TV screens across America.
Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?
I always thought that Sesame Street was like a window to the world for every kid.
Created by Joan Cooney and Lloyd Morissette and featuring puppets, or Muppets, by Jim and Jane Henson, it was produced by the Children's Television Workshop and filmed in New York.
It was just one of those wonderful projects that, okay, so we had good writers, but we also had good cast.
And it's here in New York that I'm reuniting writer Joe Bailey and actor Emilio Delgado, who played the part of Luis, the Fix-It shop owner, for 44 years.
It was an amazing thing how all of these tremendously talented people came together. Some of them sort of knew each other from having worked together, like John Stone had worked with Jim Henson previously.
Along with Joan Cooney and Lloyd Morissette, director John Stone helped develop Sesame Street as a way of using television to educate children, using many of the tricks employed by advertising companies, like catchy jingles and repetition. Joe Bailey joined the writing staff in 1973 and soon learned the rules.
There was a curriculum in a loose-leaf binder of things that had to be taught, and it was not only the alphabet, but body parts, solving problems, that kind of thing, and everything that I wrote had to be justified against that curriculum.
Joe says not all his ideas made it onto the screen, though.
I wrote a piece where Cookie was doing a weather map and wound up eating the map. And the research people said, well, you know, he ate Chicago. And I said, well, yeah. They said, well, kids in Chicago are going to be scared to death.
So they had to think of all this.
Yeah, they can that piece.
Now, what starts with the letter C? Cookie starts with C. Let's think of other things that starts with C.
Each show was an hour, which at the time was considered ambitious for maintaining a child's attention. But the mix of actors, puppets, animation, and songs proved to be a winning formula.
C is for Cookie. That's good enough for me. Oh, Cookie starts with C.
Who were the main characters back when you both started? Was it, you know, Big Bird, Oscar the Grouch? Was Cookie Monster involved back then?
Oh, yes.
Oh, sure. In those days, we did five what they call street pieces, you know, right on Sesame Street in every show. And Carol Spinney, who played Big Bird, and Oscar was always on the set. So you always had Big Bird and you always had Oscar. And then there were other days when Frank Oz, you know, would be on set. And so then you would have the Cookie Monster, you would have Grover. If you look at Cookie Monster, it's a mouth with two eyes on top of it. I mean, the amazing character that Frank created out of a mouth with two eyes on top of it. You would have Bert.
Bert and Ernie, of course.
Bert and Ernie, yeah.
Yeah.
And the classic Odd Couple.
Ernie, I'm trying to sleep.
I don't worry, and I don't weep.
Aww.
In fact, I'm glad, because I get up off my pillow and I flip on the light.
Ernie.
I get down and get hip in the still of the night.
Turn the light off, Ernie.
I stretch and I yawn, and then I breathe real deep.
Aww.
And dance myself to sleep.
Oh, don't dance, please don't dance.
I hoof around my
bed. Who are your favorite characters?
For me, my favorite character was always Big Bird, because I think he represented that child on the other side of the screen. Carol Spinney, who did Big Bird, his way of being, his way of interpreting the lines that were given to him, he sounded like the child that we were trying to get to.
Somebody come and play. Somebody come and play today. Somebody come and smile the smiles and sing the songs. It won't take long. Somebody come and play today.
Also, he was very talented. I mean, we had segments where Big Bird rode a unicycle. When he went to China, he rode a motorcycle.
Of course, one of the most iconic characters from Sesame Street was a certain green amphibian who would go on to even greater heights as a star of the silver screen, Kermit the Frog. The Muppet became Jim Henson's best-known creation.
Kermit was Jim's...
sort of his alter ego.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I had conversations with the frog that I never had with Jim, and vice versa.
In terms of the Muppeteers, the talent of those people, of course, Jim Henson and Frank Oz,
yeah,
who were leading all the Muppets, I mean, what incredible talent.
Kermit the Frog first sang this memorable song on Sesame Street.
It's not easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaves.
Joe Raposo was the music director. I had a degree in music from Harvard University. He was quite a musician. I mean, he could compose. I think he wrote It's Not Easy Being Green overnight.
Really?
Because somebody had put in the script, the frog sings a song. And that was it. And Raposo went home and wrote It's Not Easy Being Green.
Of course, he's the composer of the other song that's very famous, Sing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is sort of like an anthem, you know, of Sesame Street. Everywhere that I've ever gone and did an appearance with people and fans, they want to hear Sing. So that's what we sing. We sing, sing.
Can you give me a rendition now?
Sing, sing a song. Sing out loud, sing out strong.
Sing
of good things, not bad.
Not bad.
Sing of happy, not sad.
With so many Muppets stealing the show, what was it like to be a human cast member?
We were kind of like the straight guys. You know? Especially with Oscar the Grouch.
Oh, God.
I can't remember how many times I got hit in the face with a pie.
Emilio's character, Luis, was brought in to help reflect the diverse cultures across the U.S., something the show had strived to do from the start.
Initially, it had been the African-American kids that they were very much concerned with. But then, of course, you know, we had other people like Latinos and Mexican-Americans and Puerto Ricans. So they went out to California looking for a Mexican-American, I guess, and there I was.
Well, which was funny was that, you know, 40 years ago or so, Emilio was the only Mexican-American on television.
So
to go into a Mexican restaurant with him, it was incredible. I mean, mariachi bands came up out of the floor, and the entire kitchen staff came out to shake his hand, and it was wonderful. And then I'd go back with my wife, and they'd be, "What do you want, gringo?"
I think that I'm the longest-running Mexican-American on any television show in America.
Over the years, Sesame Street has tackled some difficult subjects, including the death of one of the series' regulars.
When Mr. Hooper died.
That's right.
Remember
yeah,
that one?
Yeah.
That was so sad. I couldn't believe it.
Where they explained to Big Bird about death, and it was quite a show.
Sesame Street has also always tried to move with the times. In 2018, they introduced a Muppet character who experienced homelessness. More recently, they've added Carly, a foster child with a mother battling drug addiction. Sesame Street is now broadcast in 150 countries, and the original incarnation has produced nearly 5,000 episodes and won 193 Emmy Awards.
It was breakthrough television when it first came on the air.
Yeah, we know it was known as an experimental show, is what it was. We never knew what was going to happen.
I tell people I ran away and joined the circus when I was 30. And, you know, you tell people you wrote Sesame Street, it's just amazing, you know. It's like, you taught my father to count, and now you taught my grandfather how to count.
One of the people on the show that was always cracking funny, I heard him one day say, "This is an experimental show. We're going to keep doing it until we get it right.
It's clear that Joe and Emilio look back on their Sesame Street years with pride. And after 50 years, the magic of the program still seems to be there. Here's hoping we'll still be celebrating this iconic children's TV show for another 50 years. This feature has been brought to you by the letters D and W, and I'm Ian McNess, somewhere near Sesame Street.